So I gave you that 1 John 2, chapter 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. What is Antichrist? What is the Antichrist spirit? Is it a spirit? Is it a person? Is it a thing? Some people believe that it's a person. It's not. It's everywhere. It's pervasive. And any person, anything, any doctrine, any system of religion, any thought which is opposed to Christ and to the Holy Spirit, and especially the spreading of the gospel, that is Antichrist. And that spirit of Antichrist is everywhere. In fact, the Bible tells us it's in the church. Yes. Hmm? Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he said, right? Matthew 28, 18 and 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. This for me is one of the most powerful scriptures that I have received. Amen. Because it's my mandate from heaven. Amen. All power is given unto me. Because of that, I want you to go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He didn't just say, teach the Jewish nation or the people in the Middle East. He told his disciples, teach all nations. And today that's passed down to you, brother, to you, sister. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that name is Jesus. Of course, we'll talk about that as I've been ministering on baptism in Africa. And oh my goodness, the Lord has really stirred my heart in regard to that. And I want to so much, so badly, so desperately want to share that with you. And Lord willing, I can do that. But the Lord said that I needed to talk about these things first. Baptize them, not just teach them, but baptize them. Amen. We're gonna find out how important water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is in our lives as Christians. In fact, we cannot live our lives without these things that heaven has provided for us. And in the future, we'll look at that. But go and teach all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. What is all the purpose of teaching all nations? To keep what Jesus said, to keep the words of Jesus. That's our mandate. All the power in heaven is given for that purpose. Teach them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that's coming soon. Oh, it's right at the door. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? It's really there. It's so close at hand. The enemy is unleashed everything he can to destroy the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to destroy the lives of people who would open their mouths and proclaim that Jesus is the Christ. I remember my pastor used to continuously say, almost all the time, every week, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was his open proclamation of who he was and who Jesus was. And we cannot let that fall to the ground now. Now more than ever, there has to be a power that proclaims who Christ is and what he did. But the enemy wants to shut us up and every other person who has experienced the love of God through Jesus Christ. How long is he with us? To the end of the world. But for what purpose? He's not with us just to make us comfortable in our lives. He's with us as we carry the gospel to every nation, as we teach them, as we baptize them, as we teach them to observe what Jesus commanded. He's with us. Hallelujah. And when we stop doing that, he is no longer there, because we're not even doing his will. But you might say, but what can I do? I don't know. What have you experienced? What has Jesus done in your life, my friend, my brother, my sister? How much has he done for you that you can take that and share that openly, boldly? That others might find what you found. Or if you were born into this, that your parents found. Someone told somebody something. And that's how you're here today. Hallelujah. 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 Stop being quiet Christians. Say yes if you agree. Say no if you don't agree. Do something. Don't be lukewarm and silent. There's no reward in that. But if you want to experience the blessing of the Lord like you have never seen it before, that's what we want. That's what we want to talk about. Jesus said, go into all the world. Now the spirit of Antichrist also spoke. And it's found in Acts chapter 4, 17. The spirit of Antichrist said that it's spread no further among the people. This is after the lame man was healed at the temple door. He rose up and walked. People were being saved. People were excited about the coming of Christ, the Messiah, everything. And the religious order got really upset because they were losing control. And this is what that spirit said, that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them. I want you to listen seriously, intently on what these words are telling us today. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth or from this moment forward to no man in this name. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I have to say I'm so grateful that my brothers and sisters in that age did not listen to that spirit, did not obey what the enemy was trying to do. That they literally, it spurred them on, and they said, oh, what can we do but obey God? In fact, when Peter and John were locked up, thrown up in the prison because other things were happening, Peter's shadow was healing people. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead for lying to the Holy Ghost. This is not the Old Testament, this is the New Testament. And there was a great fear, there was a great stir among the Christians, and they put them in jail. They didn't know what to do with them. And in jail, an angel came, woke them up, their chains fell off, the door opened, and they headed out. And you know what the angel said to them? He said, go tell the people all the things that Jesus has done. Don't stop talking. Amen.
Don't stop proclaiming. Don't stop. Don't shut your mouth. I've set you free. Go and tell.
What's the key? What is our freedom for? What is our liberty in Christ? What's the purpose of it? That we would go. That we would open up our mouths and speak the glory of our God. And the love that he gave us in Jesus Christ. Acts 5:40, it goes on. It says to them, this is after they locked him up, to him they agreed. And when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and then let them go. And they were fired up. They weren't angry. They didn't say to the Lord, Lord, why are you letting this happen? Why did he beat me? He hurt me. I'm bruised. They didn't say that. What did they say? Just to let you know, it's a way different spirit than the spirit of man or the spirit of the world. It says they were rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Whatever for Jesus. Hallelujah. All for Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm grateful, Lord, whatever I can do. That's the spirit that we want in our lives today, brothers and sisters. We don't want to be robbed of our freedom. We don't want to be robbed of the liberty of Christ in us and the power that he wants to give to us. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 11 to 14, it says, and many false prophets shall arise. And if you hadn't noticed, this subject is about love. This message is about love. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And listen to this. And because iniquity or sin, because sin abounds, it says the love of many shall wax cold. This is a testimony of the last days. The great apostasy, the falling away, the backsliding of the Christians from their faith, the forsaking of their first love. And why? This is not talking about the world, because the world doesn't have love. This is talking about the children of God. And it says, because iniquity or sin shall abound in them, in their midst, the love of many shall wax cold. And, you know, as we're also going to talk about, this is that laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, found in Hebrews 6. Yes. When it says, let us go on to perfection. That's the cry of the Spirit. Yes. Let's go on to perfection. Let's leave those things behind. Let's not allow sin to dominate our lives. And if you think that you can have a little bit of sin and it not take over, you're mistaken. You don't know the word of the Lord. And you don't understand sin. But now we have the mercy seat, the throne of grace. So I implore you to repent of your sin, to turn, and the Lord will help you and give you strength. And we're going to give you the scriptures regarding that. The love of many shall wax cold because iniquity shall abound. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. You know, it's interesting that he said endure. Interesting, because no word is misplaced in the word. he that shall endure. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Whether people receive it or not, the gospel is given as a witness. Amen? Amen? The gospel is there to confront the sin in people's lives with hope. But if you reject the hope, you are left with condemnation. Matthew 24, verse 24 and 25, it says, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall, listen to this, and shall so show great signs and wonders. So lying, false, ungodly, not associated with heaven, not associated with Jesus, or his power. False Christs, false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it was possible, they would deceive the very elect, those who should not be deceived because of their understanding of the Lord and his word. And then Jesus said, behold, I've warned you. I have forewarned you about this. I have told you before. So the question comes to us. How can we know the truth? How can we not be deceived? And you know, I don't take anything for granted. I sure hope you don't as well. I look to the Lord. I have to cry out to the Lord. And in my prayers, I ask the Lord to open my eyes so that I'm not deceived. Because I don't want to be deceived. I want to understand. I want to know the truth. And I want to see the enemy, no matter what he does, and to know that that is the enemy. So the signs of the last days, that which we read, the Antichrist spirit is everywhere. It's in opposition to Christ. It's in opposition to the spreading of the gospel. And the other thing that we looked at is that where iniquity abounds in the believer, the love grows cold. And you know, the example that the Lord gave us, one of the examples of that is the struggle that came to Cain and Abel. And he said, don't love as with that love that Cain had, who killed his brother. Hate within their own family. Brothers, the first murder took place on the face of the earth. And do you know why? Because of jealousy in regards to their godly inheritance and position. And we see that in Christendom today. The church is divided. That brothers and sisters want to destroy other brothers and sisters. And that isn't the love of Christ. It's not the love of God. We don't do that. We don't destroy one another. We don't speak against one another. We're children of the Most High God. We let our Father judge the matter.
We don't go around saying, you know, I don't like this one. I don't like what they do. I think they're sinners or whatever. Did you see what they did? Did you hear what they did? That is ungodly. That is anti-Christ. That is the love of Cain and not the love of God. Because as believers, we don't destroy our brothers and sisters. Doesn't matter if God accepts one more than the other, as he did accept Abel's sacrifice, but rejected Cain's. And Cain worked hard in growing those vegetables, toiled in the heat of the day, and they were the most beautiful things that he had. And he presented them to the Lord, but the Lord didn't want that. You can't give what you want to give. You have to give what he asks you to give. And that's what we want to talk about today. What does he want you to give? Today, what does he want? What does the Lord your God require of you? I will not destroy my brother or sister, neither will I speak against them, because I am not of that seed. But rather I lift my eyes up to heaven and say, Lord, you know, you see all things. Fix me. Help me. Show me the way of righteousness in regards to whatever I'm having or whomever I'm having a problem with. That's it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry because I do things by what my mind says too often instead of regarding what you say. I wanted to say this to you as well, because I was here on Saturday morning. I want to tell you how to pray properly. You know, if you're asking for boldness, you should first repent for being ashamed. If you're asking the Lord to move in the life of your child, first repent for not obeying him in the raising of your child. Hello?
Yes.
I'm just telling you, that's the right way to do it. And it's hard to do. You know why? Because we have to humble ourselves and acknowledge that we have made some very bad things or done some very bad mistakes in our life. Lord, forgive me. Now heal me. And now deal with the situation, my God. What am I to do? I've messed everything up. I'm throwing myself at your throne and asking you to help out. You're the only answer I have for this situation. That's the way that we come before his throne. You know, the whole, I don't know if it's Psalm 137 or Psalm 106. I always get the two mixed up, but you know, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And they were gone. Then they're off again. And little by little, they go backwards and they turn away from the Lord. And then he withdraws his blessing. They end up in a horrible mess. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. What did they say? Lord, we're so stupid. Again, Lord, we're so stupid. Can you possibly forgive us another time?
Yes.
Help me, Lord. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. That was the prayer of King David. Create a clean heart in me. Renew a right spirit. Glory to your name, Jesus. Oh, and is he there? Yes. Yes. He wants us to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. So I want you, next time you're going to ask the Lord for something, I want you to consider if there's something that you have not done. And you should say, Lord, please forgive me for my error in this that I'm about to ask you for. Because the Lord moves in that. Okay? Are you with me, sort of? Shall I continue, or that's enough for today? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, listen to this. This know also, that in the last days
Perilous times shall come. For men, and again, we're not speaking about the world. We're speaking about the church. This word is given to the church. It's given to the church of Ephesus, in fact. Last days, perilous times come, so men shall be lovers of their own selves. Tell me if you sense that that's a problem today in the church. Not just here in North Vancouver, but around the globe. Selfishness has taken over the work of Christ. And people are just not available. Lord, I'm not available to do the kingdom work at this point. I got to take care of this and that and that. And the kingdom is no longer first. Probably ends up getting down there on the lower third of our list of things to do. How easy it is to miss or forsake the assembling of ourselves together these days. It's as though it's not a problem. Never used to be like that. But it shows that precept upon precept, that when we love ourselves, and we increasingly love ourselves, that the gospel light no longer shines in us. And that our troubles start to be more and more. And then we start thinking of ourselves more and more. Well, this happened to me, and this happened to me. And that's all you talk about. See, 2020 vision. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. What's the next word? Covetous. No ameners there, I guess. Boasters. People who then only talk about themselves. You haven't been with people like that? It's like I wish they'd shut up and we could talk about Jesus or something. If you and I are together, we're going to talk about Jesus, whether you like it or not. Because that's what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about me. I'm not interested in me, and I'm really not that interested in you unless we need to pray about something. But I'm interested in sharing with Jesus, hearing what he's done for you, hearing, you know, that kind of stuff. That's exciting. And it stirs my faith. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Boasters. People that talk about, don't talk about yourself. Nowadays, you don't have to because other people will talk about you. And maybe not things that you'd like them to say. Proud. Pride. Oh, yeah, it's there. It's big there. Forgive us, Father, because we're proud, covetous, boastful, lover, selfish, lover of our own selves people. And we need your mercy. Disobedient to parents. I'll tell you why in just a moment, why children of Christian parents have such a struggle with that and why it's not so different. Unthankful. Unthankful, that's a huge problem. Unholy. Without natural affection. Without even the basis, like Cain and Abel, a brother to love a brother, like a mother's love for her children. That's the natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, stubborn, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Amen? Okay, so let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. The instruction given to us here is love not the world. I want you to say that together with me. This is the word of the Lord. Let's say it. Love not the world. The next thing, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's pretty clear that loving the world is a problem. You cannot love the world and love God. Number one, God won't have it. He's a jealous God. Christ is the bridegroom. The bride isn't supposed to be loving anything else but the bridegroom who's coming to be married with her. I'm sure you wouldn't marry a bride if you knew that they were in love with someone else. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't have both. And yet, it's the greatest struggle that we face as Christians today. For all that is in the world, listen to what the world consists of this, the lust of the flesh, the desires of this decaying, short-term living body, the lust of the flesh. What else? The lust of the eyes. We can see, therefore we desire. We see something, we want that something. And it destroys us. And the pride of life. Not just life, the pride of life. That you want to be something. You want to have something. You want to accomplish something. Yes. You want to make a name for yourself. That's the world. That's not the Lord. The Lord doesn't say that. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And all those things, my dear brothers and sisters, that affect us so deeply in our service to Christ are from the world and not from the Lord, not from His Word, not about His kingdom. And so we need to have that understanding. We need to draw a line in our minds and in our hearts. What is the love of God? What is loving the world, and how is it affecting my life? I want to ask you a question this morning. Has the world invaded our Christian lives? I heard a couple of mumblings there, but nobody really wanting to admit anything. Has the world invaded our Christian lives?
Yes.
In fact, it's the greatest struggle that's talked about in Romans chapter 7, to the point that the things I want to do, I don't do. It's something that we're confronted with every day, that we need the help of heaven to live in this life as a godly man and woman.
Amen.
We're challenged every day on the right side, on the left side. We're at war every day. We're not allowed to take our ease. We're dressed in armor and we're ready to battle. And the enemy comes in and says, you know, you need to think of yourself, or you need to take care of yourself, or doesn't this look good, or what are you doing with your life? Has the world invaded our Christian lives? Absolutely. And this is how we know. Are we ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The love of the world and the things of the world have robbed us of our first love and our witness for Jesus. And you know, the worst thing you can do is sit there and listen to what I'm saying, then try to figure out the things that you do that are good about that. But the best thing you can do is say, Lord, I want to be your witness. I want to witness like I've never witnessed before. I want to proclaim the things that you've done for me. I want to declare your name. I'm not ashamed of it. Because there's no place for that in a Christian's life. We've made up our mind. It's clear to us. And the world, the love of the world has invaded our lives to the point that it's not important for us to witness, to fulfill the mandate that Jesus gave, to even be a part of a Christian community, and then wonder why we suffer these sorrows in our lives. Because the blessing of God is withdrawn. It's because we seek acceptance in the world. Our standards are the world standards. They're not the scriptures. It's the world standards. If I'm successful, it's by the world standards. However I look, whatever I'm dressed like, it's the standard of the world. It's not the standard of the kingdom. And that's why we have to be careful. If I'm happy or not, well, you know you're happy because you can watch on TV. What is a happy couple or happy people? What do they look like? Well, they're drinking, of course. They're happily drinking alcohol. They're happily having, you know, everywhere. Isn't it everywhere? You turn it, doesn't matter what program, you know, they're having a glass of wine, enjoying life, and on their way to hell. Come on. I mean, let's have 2020. You know, does the Lord say that's going to be the joy of your life? Is going to be the glass of wine or whiskey or scotch or whatever else you're drinking? No, that's not happiness. That's the world. That's the lying Antichrist spirit telling you this is what you need to be happy. A bottle of wine. A nice glass, you know, out with the night for a lady or a man for a one-night stand. Just, you know, enjoy. I remember the word when I was young said, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Isn't that sick? That's the world. You want to love the world? Go for it. You want to be happy with their standards? Go for it. Grab yourself a bottle and go somewhere and have fun and be happy. Or do you want to serve Jesus Christ and live for eternity? Amen. That's the choices, my brothers and sisters. It's very clear in the word of the Lord. And we have to challenge, we have to be challenged, and we have to challenge ourselves on what we permit as believers in our lives. And what effect it has on us. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if that's become your standard of happiness, then you don't know the joy of the Lord anymore. Amen. You have departed from the truth of the word. And it's time you ask the Lord to forgive you. You threw away the doggone bottle and you just said, Jesus, I want to be filled with your spirit. I'm going to speak in tongues and I'm going to speak the word of the Lord and my body is going to receive healing because of that. I am going to encourage other peoples by the words of the mouth. I'm going to sow and have fellowship and give joy to those around me by speaking life from your word, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And I want to say this to you. In your life, that's what you consider as being a part of that, and that's okay with you and the Lord, and you get another brother or sister involved in that, be very careful because the Lord is very angry at those people that cause others to stumble. Because it's got nothing to do with joy, it's got nothing to do with happiness, it's got everything to do with Antichrist, destroying the gospel, yes. Destroying the witness of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we're not going to let that happen because we're aware of it. Amen? Because our eyes are open and we can see the lies that he is trying to sow in our minds. I'm happy at the end of the day, you know, I can relieve my stress as long as I got a glass of booze. Or maybe you like marijuana, I don't know. That's what you need to calm yourself down, to just wind down and relax, to get the edge off, whatever it is. No. No. What a lie. It's to lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done in my life. Lord, hallelujah, you are my God. You are worthy of all the glory and praise, and I thank you this day. So it's because that we seek acceptance in the world that which we can see the world and deny Christ, which we cannot see. That's what Jesus said. You've got to love me who you can't see. What is loving the world? The desire to conform to the world. Measuring our success by the world standard. Yet Peter, a fisherman, was the most successful man that walked on the face of the earth. In heaven's eyes. To be accepted by society. We long to be accepted by society, to look for affirmation from them. I remember the struggles that I had with this in my life. I remember the first time I witnessed to somebody because I learned that at Sunday school. And a fear just came over me like, I'm going to be the most hated. All these thoughts were going through my mind. That lying devil, that spirit is there telling me to don't open my mouth. Just like he told the disciples, don't speak in that name. And I opened my mouth, and after I did that, I felt so good. I thought, this right here is like David defeating Goliath. Hallelujah. Down you go, large guy. Don't let our children get caught up in that. Don't let them think that they have to be accepted in society in order to have a life, to be normal, to be loved. Because if our children are thinking that the love that they're looking for is what the world gives out on a plate, they're going to be so sad when they find out that it's all nothing but a facade, a lie. It's when we're accepted in the beloved, when we found our peace with God, looking for affirmation, avoiding being an outcast. Because that's what the enemy wants you to think. You're an outcast because you're a Christian. We don't talk about it because people look down on it. I mean, I go, people tell me that, they right away, it's Preacher Dave. Hey, you got a sermon for me today, Preacher Dave? Yeah, I got a sermon for you already. I'm serious, that's... You know, one day the Lord's going to give me an opportunity in their lives, and I'll be able to bring hope. Hallelujah. Yeah. So what does the Lord require of you? You know, Jesus left his home. Jesus left heaven to come here and walk among sinful men. He was crucified by the hate of that spirit. Sinful men took him and nailed him to a cross, the Son of God. And he didn't, I guess, he didn't say, I don't want to do it for these people. They're not even good people. He did it because that's what the Father wanted. And we praise you, Father, for that plan that drew us back to you. Amen. That made a way for us to be close to you because of the blood of that beautiful Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful today. I'm undeserving of every good thing that happens from heaven. But yet I'm made nigh because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm made worthy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The most powerful thing that happened in my life was I received Jesus Christ, that my sins were washed away by his blood and I became his son. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The Jew first and the Greek also. You know, I always thought that it was the gospel that's the power. And that is true, but that's not it. It's the proclamation of the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation. If there was nobody to speak it, the gospel would be worthless. But in our hands, in our hearts, and in our mouths, that gospel is powerful. And it touches, goes down to the marrow of the bones of the people who have ears. And it cuts them to their heart. They're convicted, they're angry, they're happy, whatever. They fall on their knees and ask Christ to come into their lives. That's the power of the gospel. Is the proclamation by you and I. Our salvation comes through proclamation or declaration. We confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died, that he is risen from the dead. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, amen? Yes. That's not over after we received him, after the blood cleansed our sins away. We just began our confession of Jesus because now with greater understanding, we have more to confess. Jesus said in Mark 8:38, the words of Jesus, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That's a very convicting scripture. Very powerful scripture. I want to read it one more time because this is what Jesus said. Whosoever. Doesn't matter. Whoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, because he knew that because iniquity is going to abound, the love is going to grow cold, people are going to stop talking about who Jesus is. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me in this sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels, when he comes back again. It's literally the victory of light over darkness. What is that victory? Opening our mouths and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, that salvation is through Jesus Christ, that the blood that he shed can wash away your sin, can make you clean, can take away every stain. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. That's pretty darn exciting. I would say that's better than winning the lottery even. I would rather have the lottery. All the good things you could do with that money, all the people you could help. Good, we got no suckers today. That's a garbage lie, isn't it? It's the light over the darkness. The last thing I want to say to you this morning. Is forgiveness. The power. power of God's love is forgiveness. Amen?
Yes.
Not because you deserved it, not because you earned it, but because he gave it. I don't deserve to be forgiven. Neither do you. But he forgave you your sin. Forgiveness is that divine work of love. And it still is today. Forgiving your brother and your sister. Forgiving your spouse. Forgiving your children. Forgiving your moms and daddies. Forgiveness is so powerful. It brings life where there's no hope. Where there's only death, life can come because of forgiveness. And if we allow unforgiveness in our lives, we destroy the work of God in Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? You cannot have unforgiveness for anything or anybody in your life. There's only one sin that cannot be forgiven: blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But for you and I, all things we forgive. It's the power of God's love. Why do I forgive? Because he forgave me. I'm forgiven, and therefore, because I've received that, I can also forgive now. I can forgive. I can show mercy. When the world expects you to show judgment and harshness and anger, you show mercy. That's the love of God. That is also the testimony. Amen. In John chapter 7, 44, this is the last scripture, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet." Who are you, Simon? You're better than this woman? That's what Jesus is saying. They all know what kind of life she had. But Jesus is showing him, Simon, even though you're a believer of believers, yet this woman has shown me something that you haven't. Seven 44 of Luke. Is that what I said? Okay, well, that's a good one too, I'm sure. Please forgive me. It's Luke 7:44. Let's practice that forgiveness. And everybody said, no, everybody said, yes, I forgive you. See, isn't the Lord wonderful? He lets us practice the word. "You gave me no kiss, but the woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you didn't anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment." And then he said these words, "Wherefore, because of this, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven." Glory. Hallelujah. "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven." Why? For she loved much. "But to whom little is forgiven," Simon. It doesn't say Simon, but that's the deal. "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." Hallelujah. You know, this is striking because the blood hasn't been shed yet. It shows you the power of repentance and the power of forgiveness in the heart of our God. Hallelujah. Before one drop of the blood of Jesus was shed, this woman, from all her sins, because of what she did, was forgiven. So we can find grace when we're looking for it. Let's you and I remember the forgiveness that we have received, that we might love with all our hearts. And I want to give you this key. Go out and break the darkness and break the cycle of ungodliness that spirit of Antichrist wants to inflict upon your mind by opening up your mouth and proclaiming who Jesus is. Boldly proclaim it. Don't be afraid of anybody. Don't be afraid of rejection. We delight to be rejected because of Jesus. It's our joy to be associated with Jesus, not the world. It's not our joy to have an association with the world. It's our joy to have an association with heaven and Jesus Christ. And I choose him today. I choose Jesus today. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.